This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, you guys. Rob and Suk.
Nope.
503.
Can you guys shut up?
What's going on? Hope everyone's having a good day. As good as can be.
Yeah, I think that's it's a sliding scale, right? At this point, I think everyone you having a good day, as good as can be.
Are we all surviving?
It's wild.
I'm here.
I'm surviving as well. We hope you are too. It is COVID cast number 58 here on Primetime.
Feeling pretty confident, by the way, we are going to hit the over on our number of COVID casts.
Only 22 more. So basically, yeah, we only have to get...
It's July.
We get to the beginning of July, and believe me, we're not going to have any major team sports July 1. Not happening.
Mm. I do want to announce to you guys that effective today, we have a new fan text code. So in order to text our show, you can no longer use 55305.
It is right out.
It is now 6 feet under. We knew him when.
Knowing us, we really buried him probably 3.5 to 4 feet under.
Yeah, what's interesting is that we really tried to bury 503-250-1080 because we don't ever take phone calls.
Yeah, but it zombied us.
I'll be damned if that thing isn't back.
that's our new
text line number.
And by the way, we've said you can call Mike Lynch on that number and he'd be happy to answer your call and discuss whatever various quandary you have.
You can keep saying that, but we all know it's not
true. Is anybody calling?
One person calls when you say it, but I was doing Stockwatch when he called, so what do you want from me?
Oh, you didn't answer.
Mike, answer the phone.
That's not good customer service, Mike.
It's your job, Mike. You're in charge of the phone.
I was speaking.
Answer the phone, Michael.
Well, anyway, put it in your phone. To text us now, you have to type in 503-250-1080.
And I'd like to truly believe that when going back to digging holes, I find that very few people actually probably dig the appropriate depth of a hole. Digging a hole is
not
one
easy.
Of the awful things that you will ever have to do. It's way harder than anyone makes it out to be. And you dig yourself a 3-foot hole and you're burying something, you're like, you know what? Good enough.
That's why the book Holes is such a terrible place to send kids. Have you ever or you saw the movie Holes or read the book Holes?
I've briefly seen the movie.
It's more of a kid's book, but yeah. It's about kids going to a prison camp where all they do is just dig holes in the desert. That's their job.
Yeah. If you ever want to punish your kid, and I did this a little bit, not too many times, but when we lived out in the country, have them dig one hole and put the dirt into the other one. You just dig a couple holes. Just meaningless like that. So, yeah, same sort of thing it sounds like.
Maybe some love to all you hole diggers out there.
Oh, yeah.
We know how hard your job is.
Oh, if you're digging ditches, well, now it's all, you know, bobcats and you got the cranes and, you know.
Still.
Yeah. Backhoes.
Backhoes. But you ever have to dig anything by hand, what an awful, awful thing.
Well, coming up, we'll talk about what J.R. Smith did. Like to discuss that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he one-upped John Jones.
Sure did.
Yeah, don't break his window.
Little college football news. Boy, they're optimistic.
Yes, they are. Well, it's college football. Optimism and
it's not really optimism. No. It's that we have to play. So look, we're gonna play.
This is
because if we don't,
yeah, this is more of those. Hey, we can't pay the mortgage, so anything goes. They're doing a little Raising Arizona here. I'll be taking these Huggies and whatever cash you got.
Coming up in the club tonight, the world's oldest man is dead. I don't know why these stories always fascinate me, but they do.
Yeah, you love the old man.
I love the old man stories.
Everyone that comes out of the world's oldest person dies, you bring into the show.
I will tell you. Yeah, I will tell you about it. I'm following that closely.
And I will tell you that every time I see a photo of the oldest person in the world, it reminds me that I don't want to be the oldest person in the world.
Okay.
Never have I looked at that person
crushing Rob's dreams over here
at 108, and I'm like,
I think it'd be awesome.
That sounds and looks like a great, great life.
108. You got to make it to at least 110 to be mentioned.
Yeah, nuts to that. You know what? We're at some point, enough's enough, and my warranty's up, and send me to whatever's after this.
All right, let's get to the hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Ooh, the ditch digger is in, and he says he is a ditch digger, and they said that's why they get paid $31 an hour with full benefits and a pension. Because digging ditches sucks.
Well, not only that, but it probably gets a bad rap because it has become the, why don't you beats digging ditches, or why don't you go dig a ditch?
Hey, $31 an hour?
We need to stop.
I'm not digging ditches, but if I was, that's a good little salary
We need a new job to, to pee on.
I would think like cold calling. Like,
there you go.
Right? Like telemarketing?
That's off.
Isn't that the worst job?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it, Bill.
Number five.
Protests in over 40 U.S. cities, including Portland and Denver, over the death of George Floyd. We discussed that in hour one. If you're wondering, did they talk about that? Are they going to talk about that? Go listen to the first half hour, because we had Rashad Taylor in here and we had a discussion about it. And we decided after that we maybe should just, continue with being a distraction.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of why we're here, right? Like, sports, even though we don't have sports right now, sports generally are the distraction from all the other stuff. And so even though we don't have sports, we can still be that distraction.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we had a very, I thought it was a very serious, to me, it was a very emotional conversation. And then you're right, we're going to try to hopefully give you a break, and we'll keep you up to date if there's things obviously that you need to know. But yeah, we're going to try to keep it light, because God knows there's enough serious going on right now.
In Denver, the son of Dale Murphy, Tyson, was hit in the face by a rubber bullet while peacefully marching. He nearly lost his eye. Dale said his eye was saved because a stranger was handing out goggles right before the shooting, and another stranger drove him to the ER. Dale Murphy, in a statement, said, quote, "As terrible as this experience has been, we know it's practically nothing compared to the systemic racism and violence against black life that he was protesting in the first place," end quote.
At least he's got some perspective on it.
NBA's planned vote on Thursday to restart their league is expected to overwhelmingly pass. It sounds like it will include 22 teams in Orlando, although that has not been finalized. The target resumption date is July 31st, and there would likely be a few regular season games followed by a play-in tournament
for the playoffs.
So basically,
they're talking about the 8 seeds from the playoffs that we're currently be in, and then 5 from the West and only 1 from the East. So that would be the Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, Suns, and then get ready for it, the Washington Wizards, 24-40.
And Wall's not playing, right?
No.
Or is he, like, what is his deal?
Could
he be healthy by now?
No, I think Wall, Durant, Kyrie Irving, all those guys.
He might be.
All those guys are Clay, Golden State's not going to be in it. But
Thompson.
They've said none of those guys are going to come back. But Collins and Nurk would be back.
Will play?
Yeah.
Did they say that?
We don't know what kind of shape they're in, but by all accounts.
Lillard said it, so I'm going to believe that it's true.
All right. Oregon State says all but 6% of their 14,000 football season tickets have been renewed. This is according to an article in the Oregonian. AD Scott Barnes told the paper that he's focused on being able to play games later in the fall to a capacity of 50%. As to who gets into games in this scenario, he hopes to accommodate all season ticket holders and students before selling single game tickets, but none of that's been ironed out yet. He says he's in the process of working out their $84 million budget right now. Any staff reductions or salary cuts will happen before July 1. He expects a revenue dip of $8 million or more, and obviously way more if no football can be played, since it's 75% of their entire athletic department revenue.
Well, make no mistake, athletic budgets are going to be slashed, because there's no way you're playing in front of, you know, full crowds. It's just isn't going to happen.
Yeah, he said 50%.
I mean, Gene Smith, even the Ohio State guy, the Ohio Smith AD, he said that there could be anywhere from 10 to 60,000. I mean, it's so broad at this point, but there is going to be financial shortcomings in every athletic program across the country.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott says all returning student athletes will be required to test for both COVID and COVID antibodies. They will also conduct tests weekly. Believe it or not, the Pac-12 is the first league to have a uniform policy on testing.
Thank God. And actually, it sounds like it's going to be taken seriously. Arkansas, and there was one other SEC school, they're not even testing the athletes when they come back from campus for workouts. They're taking the approach of, well, if you don't look sick, you're clearly not sick.
Well, they say if you're not showing symptoms, they won't test, but they will do the temperature.
Yeah. That's all they're doing is the temperature test. Because, you know, no one can spread this when they're asymptomatic, according to the Georgia governor.
Former Auburn coach Pat Dye has passed away as well. He was 80 years old. Complications related to kidney function, but he did test positive for COVID while he was in the hospital.
Yeah, so, again, this is one of those things, is did he die from COVID? You know, because depending on what side you're on, you can count him as a COVID death or, you know.
Right.
Or not. That's why some of these numbers are a little hard to, you know, to figure out what's exactly the accurate number.
And number one is that Major League Baseball players put forth a 114-game proposal to its owners over the weekend. It includes deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason. It also includes options for players not to participate due to coronavirus concerns. The season would run from June 30th to Halloween. Players expect the league, of course, to reject this, but they hope that it can be a bridge to getting a deal done this week.
Now, there's another source that come out that says Major League Baseball is going to propose an even shorter season than the 82 games. They're saying, fine, if the players are stuck on prorated salaries and they're not willing to budge off of that, fine, we'll just go to 60 or 62 games and you'll be prorated for that. And supposedly there are several owners, and I don't know what that number actually means, but they're saying that several owners have now come to the conclusion that if the players aren't willing to take further pay cuts, they just assume not play the season. So who knows how much of this is posturing, but right now Major League Baseball quite a bit of a gap there between owners and players.
There's your Hot 5 at 5. As always, it's refreshed by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. We'll check in on the state of college football beginning and what J.R. Smith did over the weekend that's caused some headlines. Coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, why J.R. Smith made headlines over the weekend. We shall discuss. Here is a text on the Beaverton Toyota text line, 503-250-1080. We were discussing ditch digging. And if you've ever tried to dig a ditch, you know how difficult it is. Therefore, ditch diggers make pretty good dough.
Yeah.
This text, I
honestly didn't know there were still ditch diggers. I thought it was all just done by machine.
Says Johnny Rotten, Sex Pistols. You remember him?
I do.
His first job was digging ditches. And apparently he dressed in suit and ties, and his coworkers laughed at him, but he said all he wanted to do while digging ditches was look cool.
Do you look cool while wearing suit and tie?
I think you do. I think that's the whole point. Rotten always looked cool, man.
That guy
was cool.
Like, I'm watching Peaky Blinders, and anytime you see, like, either an Old West show or, you know, that's not Old West. I mean, that's early 1900s, but I'm always fascinated in the olden days of how much, like, manual labor was done while wearing fancy clothes. And it was all wool. I just can't imagine how uncomfortable it would be. Like, you're watching Peaky Blinders, some dude's working like he's like smelting something, and like there's molten steel flying around, and he's wearing wool slacks and like a shirt and tie and like a wool cap. I'm like, my God, did you people not sweat? What are you doing?
Absolutely brutal. All right, in college football, Bob Bowlesby came out today. He's the Big 12 commish. And he said he's optimistic that they will start the season on time. But I tell you, college football has done a 180 in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They're just, and now they're all plowing ahead. Like, yeah, we don't see any problems, quite frankly.
They went from, hey, no students on campus, we can't play, to what if we held like 3 classes and we allowed 4 kids back in the dorm? That's kids on campus. Yeah, let's play.
It's going to be great. Well, the Pac-12 announced that they'll be testing all of their student athletes when they get back on campus, which I think is what, June 15th or something that starts?
Yeah.
When they can come back. Who knows how many kids will, but they can.
Well, remember, these are, quote, voluntary workouts. Something tells me that there's not a whole lot voluntary about this. And most of the kids.
You think so? Like, I think the other way. I think that there's a lot of kids that won't show. It's the summer.
No.
And if they're already home because of COVID, I think there's some parents that won't let their kids come back.
I'd be willing to guess that 90%+ of all football players come back. Everything I've read as far as surveys go and asking the kids want to come back and they're not fearful of this. They'll come back and play. The vast majority. And whether it's because of that or the fact that I promise you, man, when I went to school, you could either go home for the summer or you could stay and take spring and summer classes, and then you could get your scholarship check and you could stay on campus. It was not required for you to be there in the summer in order to work out with the team. You could go home. 95% of our team did. And not because we all wanted to hang out in Provo during the summertime. It is known that if you want to play, now if you're really good and you've got your spot, then you can tell the coaches to go F off. But the vast majority of us, that if you wanted to play, your ass was there. And I promise you that coaches are letting it be known that this is voluntary, and by voluntary, sign the effing paper and get on campus now.
Yeah, I get all that. I just think that it's a little different with COVID. That's something that we haven't been through before. So maybe that changes things, and maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sure the Dabos of the world are really taking this super seriously.
Oh, again, not from their perspective. They're all about football, man.
Yeah.
But parents. I'm talking about parents. I'm talking about student athletes, dadgummit.
Mike Gundy, we need to get that money going through the Oklahoma City. Get these kids back out of here. If they get sick, they'll be fine.
But you're most likely correct in a sense that, I mean, look, it's already starting to, I mean, people are already starting to filter out there. It's like, I saw that Iowa is the first state in the nation to bring back high school sports. They're reinstating baseball and softball games. They can start in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, go Iowa. I mean, that's
so they say that, like,
I honestly at this point, when it comes to the COVID stuff, I've read so much conflicting reports about whether it's spiking, whether the effects of it are not as bad as we once thought, you know, from death rates or what this is going to look like. Look, we've lost 100,000 people, and they're saying that by mid-June we'll probably have another 20,000 on top of that. But boy, it just seems like whether it's in everyone's best interest or not, like, youth tournaments are already back. I don't know if you've seen this, but we're already, like, in Florida and Missouri and places.
Oh, yeah.
They're having massive youth sports tournaments. Mm-hmm. Like, they're already back up and running. And I get essential businesses having to get up and get going. Like, I'm all for that. But the idea of, like, youth tournaments, we had a lady in our office who was here last week that's like, yeah, we're getting ready to drive up to Idaho because there's, like, a 14-year-old girl softball tournament with like 30 teams from around the region coming. So I just can't, I don't know. I have a hard time wrapping my head around how we went from 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago to being one thing and then really not a ton changing. And now we've just managed to plow through it all. And we're like, nope, sports is back. U sports is back. Go to hell.
Especially on the testing front.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like college football is putting a lot of eggs in the basket that there's going to be a lot of tests available. And right now that's not the case.
Well, and again,
you know what I mean? Like, they're all saying, well, Larry Scott came out and was like, yeah, we're going to test every kid
every week,
antibodies and for COVID every week.
How many schools
includes,
are there in Division I?
That includes
35.
Yeah.
That includes staff, that include, you know,
it's a lot of tests.
Are there really that many tests available? Well, what are they basing that off of?
And I've even seen where people are, like, some schools are saying that they're not even going to have medical professionals that are doing it. They're just going to have like the training staff do it that are not trained at all to do this. And that they're just going to send them out. And I've seen plenty of doctors and health professionals that are like, you cannot do that. The margin for error when these aren't done correct is so, can be so high that it's irresponsible to do that. And then we've got at least two schools in the SEC that just said they're not going to test anyone. You're bringing kids from all around the country back to Arkansas, and they have just flat out said, hey, when you get back on campus, we're going to take your temperature, and as long as you don't have a temperature, you're not getting tested. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, and I hope. Look, I am not one of these guys that wants to do an I told you so, and then like you get this huge rash of COVID outbreak and that you have to shut down campuses. I'm hoping that all of this just goes smoothly and, you know, somehow we get away with this. But kind of the blatant disregard for what seemingly was accepted best practices from medical science from that standpoint sure seems to be out the window in a lot of these cases. And I also think it's interesting that the one that's the most guilty of this is the one without a union. Right, you're talking about colleges where the kids and the athletes don't have a say in it. This can't happen in Major League Baseball or the NFL. But these kids, and I'm not saying they you know would rally against this or whatnot. I think most kids want to come back and play. I think most kids aren't scared of this. But the idea that those athletes have absolutely zero voice in how this is going to go down when they come back, where they play, under what conditions they play, under what testing, you know, protocols they have. Those kids have no say in it. And I sure hope to God that who's ever in charge, athletic directors, coaches, university officials, are doing what's at least in somewhat the best interest of the athletes, as opposed to, man, we just got to find a way to get the season in because we need the money. That's really, really dangerous when you're talking about playing, whether you're talking about playing with those kids' lives, but at least you're playing with their health. And then some of the staff and coaches and family members, you could be playing with their lives.
The fan text line 503-250-1080 is the new number. Somebody asked, how are you able to play high school sports when the school year is over? Well, Iowa was the only state that pushed their spring sports to the summer.
Yeah, they pushed them back.
So they pushed them back and said they would play them if it was allowable. And the governor did give the green light. So in Iowa, they're going to start baseball and softball June 15th, and their season's going to wrap up August 1. They're going to play throughout the summer. Players will have to undergo temperature checks. There will be no sunflower seed shell spitting.
That is right out.
You cannot do that now. And they said that pitchers blowing on their hands will have to sanitize before touching their balls. Baseballs.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Do they?
Can we say all balls? I mean, I feel like
probably any ball. Yeah,
any ball.
But
you can't touch the ball.
What were the old balls like?
You think they're gonna have like Purell back there, like with the rosin?
They got to, right? You have that little bottle back there on the mound. Why not?
So I don't know. I guess I don't know. Anyway, that's part of their rule. But they say that this will not include every school and school district. Some are just gonna stay shut down. But the Iowa governor gave the green light, and high school baseball and softball is back at least in one state.
Okay.
There you go, buddy.
Well, and hopefully, like I said, I hope that this all goes smooth and that
college football, oh yeah,
a month or two from now that we're not all sitting around being like, God, what did we do?
Make a prediction right meow. I want a prediction from you.
Yeah.
Because this is always changing. What does Oregon, Ohio State look like?
I think Oregon,
or does it happen?
I think Oregon, Ohio State happens, and I think there's no fans. That's my prediction.
Wow! So they play in Autzen.
They play in Autzen, and it's
nobody empty there.
Talk about getting the short end of the stick of the home and home.
Yeah. Holy cow. No kidding.
Yeah.
If that happens, they should make Ohio State not let fans in when they play there next year.
Yeah. Something tells me it's going to be a big FU.
I'm still not sure they're going to play that game. I feel like we're all just assuming it's going to be back. And it's like, well,
they're talking like it's going to be back.
I know, but
it's crazy, man. I think that they're going to
play
it. How
many of these plans have been thrown out the window already?
Yeah. I think they're going to play it, and there's going to be like half the stadium.
Yeah. Just sporadic fans.
Socially distanced fans.
6 feet apart. Which, by the way, not one single thing I've seen as far as gatherings go. From shopping to beaches to restaurants, anything that has been reopened, not one have I seen a crowd of people be able to keep social distancing guidelines in place. And you're telling me that the college football fan, fans and all of the tailgating and everything goes along with that. You're telling in cramped stadiums, you're telling me that's the group that's going to be able to socially distance. It's ridiculous. If you have fans back in the stadium, whether it's 10,000 or whether it's 50,000, all that stuff goes out the window. Once they walk into that, it's all bets are off and you just cross your fingers that, you know, that this
just hit and hope
that this doesn't end up coming back and biting us in the ass.
What did J.R. Smith do? Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, someone points out in regards to like the whole capacity thing, like with sports, they're saying like, yeah, places like Fred Meyer, supposedly you can only have like a 50%, capacity. But they said like at Fred Meyer, there's no one even there like counting anyone who's going in. That was at like a home improvement store over the weekend. And they've got like a tent that you're supposed to walk through in order to get in the store. And then, you know, I guess that's how they're keeping numbers. Same sort of thing. There's a limited number of people. The poor kid that was there in charge of that in no way was watching anyone going into the store. He was on his phone. He had one of those little hand clicker things, you know?
Yeah, like pitch clicker?
Yeah, like a
pitch counter.
Like a pitch counter thing. That dude was staring at his phone, and I walked into that store twice in the same day. That guy had no idea that I entered the store. He was not keeping a real accurate count. I think they're just there because, again, the store's like, all right, we have to have limited capacity. Get Timmy from the back. We're paying him $9 an hour. Get him to keep track. Timmy didn't give a damn who was going in and out of the home improvement store.
Yeah, I don't know who is, like, I think what happens now is like somebody has to call them on that.
Yeah.
And they call like the state or whatever. And then they come out and investigate, or they send the, you know, we talked about, they send like the cease and desist or whatever.
Yeah. But do they really think, but, like if I'm going in to buy a piece of like plywood this weekend, was Doug really going to be like, I'm sorry, sir, we're at full capacity? No, Doug, you're not. You're going to let me in and buy my plywood because you don't care. And neither does the store.
Well, about a month ago, that was true. Doug did stop. Like I remember going to Home Depot.
Yeah.
And they did have the, like, they were monitoring how many people were leaving, and then you had to stand in line outside, and then you'd be let in if two people left or whatever.
Not anymore.
But, yeah, I don't, yeah.
No, it's Ollie Oxenfree.
It's Thunderdome out there.
It is.
Ollie Oxenfree. Yeah, it's wild. And you wonder, too, if, like, the protests, all these protests that have spiked up now, what that's going to mean for COVID.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, because a lot of them are wearing masks, so.
Yeah,
there's
socially distanced protests.
Socially distancing the protests. No, that's not really a thing. I do notice that here that amongst the feds, because we're doing the federal government march now, I guess they went and there was a photo op in front of a church. I don't know why, but there was there. Not a single person in that entire group. And we're looking at probably 75 to 100 people that cruised over there. Not a mask amongst them.
Did you see the J.R. Smith video?
Yeah. J.R. Smith laid an ass whooping on some dude.
So
and then didn't apologize for it.
Oh, hell no. He got out ahead of it.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what he thought he was doing. So J.R. Smith of the, who's he play for?
Cavs, right?
Still? He's played in the league.
He's
a long time.
He's an NBA basketball player.
NBA guy?
I feel like he's with the Cavaliers.
Is he in the G League?
Still? I thought they got rid of him. Didn't he piss them off because he, remember he didn't know what the score was and there was like a few seconds left in that playoff game and he got the
famous picture of LeBron with his hands out.
Yeah. He thought they were going to call it. He said he thought they were going to call a timeout.
No, he's with the Cavs.
He's still there.
Still there.
Well, LeBron left, so he didn't have to kick JR off the team.
JR Smith. Well, anyway,
which, by the way, that's still one of the most mind-blowing plays in the history of the NBA Finals.
It really is.
He got the rebound and thought they were in the lead and was just dribbling the ball out. He's like, I've got this.
Really?
That's Chris Webber timeout type stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And Chris Webber's timeout is like, I mean.
Yeah, that's the mob.
Everybody knows about that. But the J.R. Smith one, I feel like doesn't get talked about all that much.
If LeBron could murder someone, if he could go back in time, it would be that moment and he would kill J.R. Smith.
Well, anyway, Smith had his truck vandalized.
Yeah, someone broke his
windshield. And he happened to be there and he happened to catch the dude.
Yeah.
And he beat the living tar out of the guy.
He ran him down. and delivered an old-fashioned ass whooping and laid the boots to him. And then the best is like, video was going around like on TMZ and people were like, hey, is this J.R. Smith? And people were debating it. And then J.R. Smith made a video that was like, oh no, that was me.
And he
he's like, I whooped that guy's ass.
Yeah, he did that because he said, I don't want you to, he was like, man, and J.R. Smith is an idiot.
Yeah.
But what he did was smart, I think, because he said, he got on there and he said, and the guy, by the way, the guy was fine. He runs off, but he gave him a good little lick in there.
Yeah.
Kicks him while he's down and everything. And of course, any other time, this video would be like front page headline.
Yeah.
You know, J.R. Smith banished from the league for good, right? Like there's any other time. But think about the think about the context that we're watching it in now. Yeah. Now it's like nobody really seems to, they just don't seem to care too much about the video. But anyway, he gets on social media and he's like, yeah, I want you, I'm just going to get ahead of this. I want you to know that was me. And that SOB
broke my window.
Broke my window. And so I just chased his ass down and beat the crap out of him. And I want you to know that's what it was. It wasn't about protests or any of this. It was that the guy vandalized my car.
Yeah, and he just, I believe the exact quote was, I whooped his ass. Now, he did walk it back today. He was on the Pat McAfee show.
And well, he's getting some heat for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he said, I'm 34. Well, and the kid, the kid's like this little dorky white kid. And, you know, he's like a little, this little emo thing. And JR said that I'm 34 years old. I've got four little girls at home. Regardless of the fact whether it was right or wrong, I don't want them to have the image of their dad being capable of that. So he did.
There's that.
He did backtrack a little bit.
It's not a good look.
No.
But at the same time, I think he did. Because how many times do you catch a vandal of your car in the act?
Yeah, like never.
Particularly if it's someone like half your size.
Yeah.
Like how many people would do what he did, or at least try?
Well, and that kid's out there, right? And he's like, I'm gonna damage some cars. Then you just so happen to damage the one of the 6'6", 240 guy
who's standing right there. Exactly. So it's kind of an unusual circumstance, but a lot of people came down on J.R. Smith for this.
Yeah.
And probably rightly so, you know.
Well, but then there's a lot of other people that think he's a hero.
Well, it's very polarizing. It's you think that guy got what he deserved.
Yeah.
Or.
And then other people are saying, hey, someone breaking a window doesn't mean that you get to just.
That's right.
Beat the limit. Because it could have ended up a lot worse. The kid, give him credit. The kid's a little spunky guy. He got up. Like, Jairus, that could have been bad. Like, he kicks him right in the head.
Yeah.
Well, and this goes back to, like, the kids that were spray painting the sidewalks or whatever, and John Bone Jones, UFC, quite possibly the greatest fighter of all time, comes and rips the spray paint out of your hands. What would have happened if one of those kids had, like, taken a swing, like, if they didn't know? Right, I guess they knew. Like, oh crap, dude!
They knew it was him.
Yeah, someone was like, "Yeah, that's John Jones. Don't do that." But what if one of those kids, like you're out there and like you're like, anarchy, anarchy! Someone rips the spray paint out of your hand and you take a swing and you just hit, or you attempted to hit, the baddest man on the planet. Like, is he, like technically right? Like he's defending himself, but is that really defending yourself when you're the light heavyweight champion of the world and you just beat the ever living crap out of some dumbass that's spray painting a sidewalk?
It's a tough one. I don't know. Well,
just be careful. Be careful out there. You never know whose car you're breaking or, you know, what you're spray painting.
Well, don't break windshields. Yeah, how about that?
Protest peacefully.
Right. All right. Coming up next, super fun times. 5:43 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
New text number to reach us. It's our phone number, 503-250-1080. So you're going to have to swap out the old number. 503-250-1080 is the new one. Put it in your phone. And you can reach the fan text line.
There you go.
Today's fan personality series poll question at 1080thefan.com. In the series, it is number 8 of 10. It is which fan personality is most likely to be hypnotizable. And that right now, let me pull this up here for you. I'm going to get you some results, bruh.
Bloop, 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 bloop. And waiting, waiting, waiting. Mike Lynch in the lead.
Loading. You think Lynch is in the lead?
Well, I said it. I was trying to be nice about it, but look, you said it the best.
I have to cast a vote to see the results.
I said it the best. I was the one who said, yes, I believe in ghosts, so I'm obviously going to be hypnotized.
Who should I vote for?
Mike believes in ghost towns.
I'm going to vote for Darkens.
And that you can eat at ghost diners in ghost towns.
Darkens. Oh, nope. Cam is leading.
Cam?
Yeah.
Really?
Cam's at 25%. Darkens 20%. Luke 15%. Sprague 15%. Wow. That's where we're at right now.
Cam.
Isn't that exciting?
I think Cam, just out of sheer will and tyranny, would never be hypnotized.
I think he would neck strangle the hypnotizer.
Yes, he would view it as a sign of weakness and that doesn't go in this dojo. And then
you
would
never
go
know.
Out and do some sprints.
You never know how these people feel about you as a personality, you know?
Yeah, you see that like at the fair, though. We do the hypnotize, you get upstairs, you know, you pretend to be a chicken and all that.
I was at an event. This is before COVID. I was at a thing that had a tarot reader.
Sure.
You ever been to one of those?
Well, you do there's palm readers and then the tarot is the cards.
The cards, yeah. She did the cards.
We did that. We were at a party when I was in the NFL and they had a tarot reading thing there.
Yeah. And I thought it was
a Halloween thing.
Stupid. But some people got something out of it,
I guess.
Like the cards basically like, "Oh, you got a shark. Here's what this means." And then she'll be like, "Well, she was like, well, this means that in your life, you know, it's X, Y, and Z." But it's so broad that it's like, oh, so there's always something in your life that could apply to what the card says.
Yeah.
So that's why those things are seen as like.
Well, I'm baffled by any.
I think those are seen as a little bit more above, not above board, but just like.
Like a horoscope sort of
more
thing?
Helpful than like the, you know, the. Miss Cleo crap.
Yeah, who's just there to defraud you. I'm always baffled that like the zodiac signs. It's like I'm a Sagittarius. I don't know what you know yours is.
I'm a Cancer.
And I know nothing.
So am I.
Yes, you are. I know nothing about what
I've always hated for that very reason
I know.
That you said that. I've always hated being a cancer.
I know, because anytime I say I'm a Cancer, someone always makes a comment about
Yes.
it. Always. Always.
It's a terrible thing to be known as a Cancer.
Do you have any idea what a Cancer is supposed to, you know, like what traits?
Not really.
I think I've read it before. I mean, again, very generalized, right? Like
I
supposed
think
to be
super
like
super cool, sexy,
very caring,
well
hung.
yeah, I think that's part of it.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like I'm fat. Like there are really people that believe because I was born in December.
In fact, that's in every horoscope about cancers.
Yeah, without question, right?
Yeah,
it is weird. It gets a little
so like
much.
Every person that's born.
I know space. I know
every person that's born in July all carry. He's the same traits, and yet there's people that believe in this crap. It baffles me. It's like, well, you're a Cancer, you're a Sagittarius, you can't go together. So everybody that's born in July and everyone that's born in December, you cannot be married. And there's people that buy into that.
Okay, can I read you what it says for the Cancers?
Yeah.
The zodiac sign, Cancer. Strengths. Mike, you and I are tenacious.
Okay.
We are highly imaginative.
Okay.
We are loyal, we are emotional, we are sympathetic, and we are persuasive.
Cool. I mean, those are all good traits.
What we are not, these are our weaknesses. We are moody.
We are
pessimistic. Two for two. We are suspicious. Three for three. Manipulative and insecure. Cancers like art, home-based hobbies, relaxing near or in water, helping loved ones, a good meal with friends. Did you just?
He almost did. He stopped himself.
Whoa.
The
Cancer's dislike.
You know why it's water? Because crabs.
Strangers, any criticism of mom.
The best part is when Mike
and
did
revealing
crabs,
of personal life.
He did little crab hands.
Yeah, of
he did
course.
Little, he did little crab claws.
What'd you say you are, Sagittarius?
Well, Sagittarius. So I'm curious and energetic. One of the biggest travelers amongst all zodiac signs.
Uh-huh.
Open-minded. View motivates them to wander around the world in search of the meaning of life. They're an extrovert, optimistic, and enthusiastic. Wait, weren't you optimistic and enthusiastic as
no,
well?
No, we were pessimistic.
You're
pessimistic.
Oh, and we like changes. Sagittarius born are able to transform their thoughts into concrete actions, and they will do anything to achieve their goals.
I like how you only read all of the good stuff.
Well, no, I'll get to the bad
stuff. Let's get to the bad.
Is down below. To like other fire signs, we're a fire sign? Sagittarius needs to be constantly in touch with the world to experience as much as possible. The ruling planet of Sagittarius is Jupiter, the largest planet. All right, what is the
okay?
Negative?
Here I have your weaknesses. This is Terrible.
Yeah, where's the
Here
bad
are
stuff?
Your weaknesses. Are you ready?
Yes.
You promise more than you can deliver.
Clearly.
That is true. You're very impatient, which I don't find you to be all that impatient.
Nah. By the way, I don't really promise much of anything. In fact, it's usually the exact opposite of, look, I don't know what you're going to get. So
and how about this one?
Buckle up.
It says, you will say anything no matter how undiplomatic.
True story.
Which is true.
Yeah, there you go.
You'll just say anything.
Yeah.
Sagittarius's like their freedoms.
That's true.
Travel, as you mentioned.
Is there anyone that doesn't like to, this is like a dating profile.
Is there a horoscope that says hates freedom?
You know what I love? I love freedom and I love to travel. Yeah, so does everybody.
Sagittarius's dislike.
I like dogs and tacos.
Clingy people. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't like clingy
people.
You
don't people. Like the clingers?
No.
You don't like being constrained. You don't like off-the-wall theories. And you also don't like details.
Well, that's actually pretty, that's pretty good.
I think you do like off-the-wall theories.
That's true.
Yeah, but you love
details,
them.
Details?
Yeah, details, right not so much.
This is dumb. How many of these are there? 12?
Yeah, it's 12.
Is that dumb?
Actually, I think they added a new one.
Yeah, I saw that. What?
I actually don't
one.
Think I'm a Sagittarius anymore. I think they added a 13th sign, and I don't know what the hell it is, but I think I'm that one.
I'm also not sure if I'm a Cancer if they added the 13th sign.
Yeah, I think everything shifted by a couple days, so whatever the new one is.
They stuck one in the middle somewhere.
I think technically I'm that one. I thought it was at the end.
I got it for you here.
I don't know.
Yeah, hell, I know.
I got this, you guys.
But I dated someone.
I, along with Sook, not much for details.
I dated someone that 100% was just, that was a thing.
Sook, you are a Sagittarius. When's your birthday again?
December 17th.
Yeah, you're barely, by a day, you're a Sag.
Oh.
You're a Sag, bro.
So what's the new one?
December 17th.
No. Yeah, but what's the,
name of the new sign?
The name of the new sign. Okay. So that's December 18th?
No, your Sagittariuses are December 17th through January 20th.
Oh, okay.
And you're the last guy. Starting from January 20th and going through the year, you have Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
You have Aquarius, the Pisces.
Yeah, those are all the old ones.
Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. Oh, my God. I'm not a Cancer.
No? You lion sack of crap.
Mike, when's your birthday?
June 27th.
June 27th. June 27th?
June 27th.
You're not a Cancer either.
Oh.
We're both Geminis, bruh.
What?
Also well hung. yeah,
thanks,
no,
face.
We're both Geminis according to
the
this.
New signs.
Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio. And then there's, I think this is the new one.
Yeah.
Ophiuchus?
Yes, that's the new one.
What is that all about?
I don't know,
who
but
are
that's
these people.
But that's the new one.
Who are you people?
Who are you?
And no, see, this is, I am now this right here.
You're a Sagittarius.
It says November to 29th to December 17th, you are the, whatever the hell this thing is, I'm this one.
I like how they added a new one that no one can pronounce.
Well, but it says December 17th, January 20th, Sagittarius, so which are you?
I'm reading right here on USA Today, it says, and there's a new 13th astrological sign, and no one can pronounce it, O-P-
Also, no one can tell what dates it is.
I'm an orifice, and it sounds like a Matrix character, we know. But for those of you born between November 29th and December 17th, you're now whatever the hell that thing is.
So you're an Ophiuchus.
I'm an Ophiuchus. I'm a Colorado Rockies. I'm not going to have a Sagittarius sign anymore.
Let's find out.
I kind of feel like, can't we just say no and stay the sign that we are?
No, Mike, that's not how it works.
Oh, okay.
I was clearly born under this sign. Therefore, all those things that we read about for Sagittarius no longer apply to me. And now I'm the new O1 that no one knows what the hell it is.
Wow. This says all orifices are diseased and violent and should be jailed immediately.
All right.
I'm sorry about that for you.
Yeah, you know. Hey, I can't.
Most Gemini cancers, you're just well hung.
Yeah. Geminis. Let's go look at Gemini, Mike, during the break. You and I together, we'll hold hands.
Okay.
I'll just remember this. The horoscopes.
So you didn't even know what you were.
I've always been a Cancer. You said they've changed it. I don't know. I don't follow this stuff closely. The only thing I remember about all the horoscope stuff is I think women are more likely to be into it than men, right?
Yeah.
So whenever I was single, like back in the Dizay, there would be times when you would go on dates, and it would be very important.
Oh yeah,
what your horoscope was to whoever you were on a date with, and oftentimes the Cancer was it was never received well by women who were into the horoscope thing.
They're like
one of their big questions is what are you? What's your horoscope? And anytime I would say Cancer, they would never come out right and say it.
Yeah.
But I could see it in their face.
There's a little bit of a deflate.
It's like,
we will not be
getting married.
No.
So they don't well hung
Cancer as opposed to the itty bitty Gemini, which apparently you are now.
All right. No, we should.
Both are well hung. Both.
Yeah, you missed the newsletter. Mm. We should get to the club because we already have. It's 5:58 on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.